Hey everyone, this is my review of No Time to Die. For context, this was actually my first Bond movie, which gives me kind of a unique view because a lot of people, after seeing the whole franchise, can get kind of clouded, or maybe they have, as a fan, they have things they want to see that kind of change their view of the movie. But I'm completely unbiased, so I'm going to be judging this movie solely on the quality of the movie instead of the fan service. So I kind of have a unique view on this one because other reviewers I listened to have seen all the other Bond movies, and they're kind of viewing this through the context of all the other ones as well. But I'm just viewing this movie as a standalone, what the quality of this singular movie is, because this is the first one I've seen, and this is what I saw. So overall, I thought this was a really thrilling and really, really well-made movie that I really enjoyed. This is a movie I would probably classify as good, but not great. We'll talk about all the great things about it, and then we'll talk about a few of the things that I feel like are holding it back from being a genuinely great movie, because I do have three main criticisms. Starting with the good stuff from this movie, this was a beautifully made movie from the technical side of things, much more than most modern blockbusters. Starting with just visually, how it looked visually and the components that go into making that visual look, the cinematography was stunning. This movie was filled with really beautiful shots. The camera movements were cool. There was a lot of really memorable and cool shots. The framing of all the shots was really cool. They were all just really pleasing, especially watching this in the movie theater. It was really cool to just watch this and admire the beauty of this movie because it really was stunning. The visual effects and the CGI was another big thing about this movie, because you can have all the great cinematography in the world, but if what you're capturing doesn't look good, then the movie won't look good. And that was not the case for this movie. I thought the CGI was near perfect. When you look at something like Shang-Chi versus No Time to Die, Shang-Chi also had that beautiful cinematography and some good visual effects, but you could actually tell, even though the visual effects looked perfectly real and they were really good, you could still tell when you're watching something computer generated and when you're watching something real. Even if the visual effects are the best in the world, there's something in your brain, or at least for me, where I can still identify this is not real, this is computer generated, even if it looks real. And No Time to Die had none of that. Shang-Chi, even though it was amazing green screen, I was catching all this green screen. Okay, this is green screen, this is green screen, this isn't real. But for No Time to Die, maybe there was one or two shots at the end, but throughout the entire movie, it all looked so real. I didn't catch any green screen. I didn't catch any major CGI. It looked practical. It looked all real. It looked stunning. So the combination of the cinematography and the visual effects made this one of the most beautiful movies I've seen in a long time. Another thing that's interesting about this movie is it kind of has the Zack Snyder effect. I talked about this with my Snyder Cut review and with my Army of the Dead review. And that's the fact that Snyder, on all his movies, he color grades, he kind of tones down all the colors. And for some reason, whatever it is, I don't know why, but his color grading, his toned down colors, sort of makes all the green screen look better, and it makes green screen a lot less noticeable. I'm not sure why that is, but that's just what I've noticed in all Zack Snyder movies. And I think that that also happened on this movie because the color grading was toned down. It wasn't bright and colorful. And I think that really helps to hide a lot of the green screen, because I'm sure there was a good amount of green screen. I didn't catch any of it like I normally do. So all that kind of came together to create a really visually stunning movie. Some other technical aspects that were really well done. This movie was really well directed. I believe it was directed by Cary Fukunaga. He's really talented. He's directed a lot of stuff. All the technical aspects we just mentioned, along with amazing performances from all the actors and all the good things about this movie come from him. I thought he's clearly very experienced and he knew what he was doing, and I thought that really came across in the movie, and I was really impressed with that. The sound design also stood out to me. Like when Bond is hit by an explosion, you hear the muffled, clouded sounds he hears, and sometimes you get a little bit of that in franchises, but it's cool you got a lot more of that in this movie than I was expecting to, and I thought that was really cool. The sound mix was really, really cool to hear, especially in a theater. The gunfire, explosions, gadget sounds, motors, all sorts of stuff. And it really stood out to me as really, really well done. So all these aspects, all these components really come together to create a beautifully made movie, which I think is probably the biggest strength of this film. It's so much better made than 90% of other blockbusters that come out. Even the Marvel movies, they're beautifully made, but so much of them is green screen, so much of them is CGI, that even though it looks beautiful and it is really good looking CGI, you can still tell it is CGI. And when you look at this, when so much of it is practical, it's just a whole other level. It's just really cool to see. Another thing I thought was great about this movie were the action scenes. I thought they were really well choreographed, really well shot. They were really fun to watch. They were really well done. The car chases from the opening chase, the fight in Cuba, those were two standouts. That opening chase, that opening scene was really, really cool. And then the fight in Cuba was awesome with Ana de Armas. I thought the action scenes were really awesome. The stunts were awesome too, because so much of this movie was done practically, and it really shows. There was as little CGI used as possible, and it really does make a huge difference. Another thing I thought this movie did really well was the tone. It was really, really intense. It had some really high stakes. You really felt the tension. This was a total thrill ride, action-packed, but it also delivered a few good laughs, and it delivered a lot more emotional beats than I expected and a lot more emotion than I expected. So I thought it did a really good job balancing all of that to create a really, really well-balanced movie that had a little bit of everything. The next thing I wanted to talk about was the story. I thought overall the story was actually one of the weaker points of the movie, but I had some scenes and some highlights that I just wanted to point out as things I loved. Starting with Bond and Madeline Swann's relationship, their whole arc from beginning to end was really satisfying. I was really surprised at how well I understood everything going on. Like, I haven't seen any of the previous Bond movies, but I completely understood everything in this movie. So I was happy with that. And I thought their relationship was really compelling, really well done. I liked their arc from beginning to ending. I bought the relationship. I thought they had good chemistry. I thought they were both extremely well acted. I really liked everything with that. The ending of this movie was really, really satisfying, and it felt perfect. Even as someone who's only seen this one Bond movie, I have a feeling for Bond fans, this ending is a whole nother level. And I thought it was really well done. I loved Bond's final sacrifice. I loved the risk that MGM took for killing Bond. I loved his death. I loved him having a daughter. I loved all of that. Everything in Cuba, that whole side mission, I loved. That whole section of the movie was just so much fun, and I really liked that. And then the flashback to Safin invading Madeline's house as a kid, that whole scene was really creepy, really tense, and it was just perfect. I loved it. That was really great because you really were on the edge of your seat. And then that opening with Bond and Madeline Swann, that car chase and the ensuing fight scene leading to Bond pushing her onto the train and her leaving him. That whole thing, that opening sequence, it was advertised a lot in the trailers, and it really delivered. It was really thrilling, and I think one of the best action set pieces in the whole movie. The last thing I want to talk about that was really great about this movie was the acting and the characters. I'm going to mention a few that stood out, and then we'll just kind of go through the rest pretty quickly. Starting with Daniel Craig, I thought he was fantastic. He gave a really, really great performance. Of course, I haven't seen the other Bond movies, so I can't really speak to where his performance ranks compared to those, but I can say that I really loved it. I thought he totally sold all the action scenes as well as the more heavy dramatic emotional scenes. I really believed that it was him doing every single stunt and doing everything, even though I'm sure he had some stunt doubles, and I thought that was just really well done, and he gave a great performance. Lea Seydoux, she blew me away. Judging by the trailers, I wasn't expecting much of her in this movie, and I was surprised with how big of a role she got. And she was really good and a genuinely great actress. I was really surprised. Like, she's a really good actress. She nailed every single dramatic beat she was given. And I'm surprised at how much I came out of the movie actually really liking the character of Madeline. Rami Malek was great as well. We're going to talk about some of the criticisms I have of his character because I do have some, but he absolutely nailed everything he was given. He took the material he was given and really elevated it, which is what a good actor does. I feel like without a good performance behind it, the character would have completely fallen flat and sucked, and he totally delivered. He was genuinely creepy and unsettling, and I thought he delivered a fantastic performance. Lashana Lynch as Nomi was good. I thought she wasn't really a standout because she did great with what she was given, but she wasn't really given that much to do. She just got a few like quippy lines or whatever, and I didn't love her character that much. I feel like she more than satisfied what was required for the character, and I'm happy with her performance, but I almost wish she was given more to do, or the character was given more, or the character was given more dimensions, because I thought the character was just fine and she wasn't given enough to do. And then Ana de Armas as Paloma was fantastic. She nailed the character and made the whole Cuba mission really fun. Her fight scenes were great. She was given a ton of great lines. And I really, really love this character, and I wish she had gotten more screen time. She was a total scene stealer, and I think one of the most memorable parts of the movie. She's one of those characters that totally could get a spinoff, and I would totally watch a spinoff, but I just don't know if that's going to happen, because it seems like they are done with this Daniel Craig Bond universe, which is a bummer. And then the final one I want to mention is Naomi Harris, for a very specific reason. She played the character of Shriek in Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And in my review of that film, let's just say I was not impressed with her character or her performance. But nonetheless, I gave her the benefit of the doubt. And I said, I don't think it's her fault. I think it's the writers of Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And I think they just gave her bad material. I don't think it's the actress's fault. And I'm happy to report that I was right. She only had a small part in No Time to Die. But her small part in No Time to Die was so much better acted than her big part in Let There Be Carnage. I thought she was really good in this movie and really showed me that, okay, it's not her. She's a good actress. It was just the writing for Let There Be Carnage that left me unimpressed with her character and her performance. And then the rest of the cast, which includes Ralph Fiennes, Jeffrey Wright, Ben Whishaw, Christoph Waltz, and so many more, was fantastic. I don't think there was a bad performance in the bunch. So that's all I have to say that I thought was really good about No Time to Die. Now I have some criticisms. First of all, starting with the villain, he was acted really well, and I loved Rami Malek in the role, but I thought Safin wasn't a great character. He was not developed. He was kind of evil for no reason. They kind of explained his backstory, but there wasn't enough there. There wasn't really a motivation, or there wasn't even a plan. Like, it's hard to even remember what his plan was. I guess he just wanted to kill millions of people, but why and for what purpose and what's the point? They didn't really explain that. And from what I've heard, this is kind of the stereotypical Bond villain. So it's kind of a bummer. I thought he wasn't that great of a character and wasn't very well written. But the one saving grace and the reason why I think the character ultimately did have some redeeming qualities was Rami Malek playing him spectacularly and being super creepy. So I thought that kind of saved the character for me. My next thing is that the plot, I mentioned the stuff I liked earlier, the specific stuff I liked, but other than that, I thought it was kind of overly convoluted. A lot of stuff didn't make sense. I thought a lot of the plot details, like the nanobots and stuff like that, was kind of unnecessary. It was kind of unmemorable, kind of forgetful, kind of confusing a little bit. It's too many steps to get from points A to B to C. There was a little too much going on. It was kind of hard to follow some parts of it, but I think they nailed the ending, and I think that was the most important part, so I'm glad they were able to do that. And then the last thing is the pacing. This is probably my biggest problem with this movie. This movie really drags, especially the third act. It's like 2 hours and 45 minutes or something like that, and you really feel that runtime. It's tough. And I feel for the director or the editors, because the story they wanted to tell is a very long story, and it's really hard to edit down this movie anymore. So there's really no easy way to fix this. But I just had to mention it, because this is something that really holds me back from loving the movie even more, is that like by the third act, I was sitting in the theater kind of like, okay, when's this going to end? This has been going on for a while. So those are my criticisms of No Time to Die. Overall, I thought this was a fantastically made and really well-acted movie that gets bogged down with a weaker plot and tiring runtime. That said, I really did enjoy the movie. I'm planning to go back through and watch all the Daniel Craig Bond movies and maybe even go back and see some of the classics as well, because I really did enjoy it. Please let me know what you thought of this movie. I'm curious to see. Did you like it as much as me? Did you like it more than me or less than me? A quick content update. Later this week, my news roundup focused solely on DC fandom will be coming out. Next week will be a Dune review, possibly, if I feel like it, a Harder They Fall review, and then a normal news roundup. And then soon will be my Eternals review once Hawkeye starts my weekly Hawkeye reviews, and lots more good stuff is coming. So look out for that. And that's pretty much it. So please let me know what you think of this movie. You can leave feedback to this podcast by leaving a comment, a question, anything you want to tell us, a theory, your thoughts on this movie, anything in the form that's linked in the description. There's also an email, a voicemail, and you can comment on YouTube if you're on YouTube. And all the links and all the ways to do those are in the description. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and have a good day.